Good afternoon, Jay Montgt down here live at the Ultralight area. And I'm joined this afternoon by their own announcer, Frank Beagle. So we have a treat down here. You've got all kinds of great people lined up for us to talk to today. And tell us a little bit about, to start out, the Ultralight area itself down here on the south end.
The Ultralight area was first initiated about 79, actually. And our runway was about a half mile further north than what it is at this time. And we were parallel with 1836. In 1989, I got a call from up here in Wisconsin, and they said, we need an ultralight pilot to come up and check out the new runway. So I brought my Easy Riser up, and I checked out the new runway and made a few suggestions, and they approved it. Next thing you know, in 1990, we have the facility we have now, which is absolutely beautiful. Since then, we've had nothing but great weather, great times. We've watched ultralights go from weight shift and foot launch all the way up to the light sport aircraft we have today.
And the light sport movement has been a huge thing for EA Ultralights down at this end. Tell us a little bit more about the changes that were made when light sport was brought in.
Well, when light sport first came out, it actually came out of the two-place ultralight training operations that we used to run throughout the United States. And then we decided that we needed to have licensed two-place operations in this country. Therefore, the light sport rule was born. The sport pilot rule was born. Sport pilot, of course, is very easy to get. You can get your license in about 20 hours or less. And it's really a simple affair. You just have to study for that written, trust me. I strongly recommend one of the many courses that are available, computer-aided courses. Take about 2 months to study it thoroughly before you go take your test, because the FAA is always changing the questions. And I guarantee you, if you get 100, you've done your homework very, very well.
Okay, well, that's very good advice, Frank. Who do we have with us sitting here for the first segment today?
Well, right now, I'd like to introduce Mr. Tim Bogenhagen, who works for EAA. He has been in charge of the ultralight programs at EAA for many, many years. He built a Mini-Max himself, and he's been flying it. In fact, he was flying it in the ultralight pattern last night, enjoying the beautiful air. Tim, welcome to EAA Radio.
Thank you very much, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tim, tell us a little bit about the organization from the EAA standpoint.
From the EAA standpoint, ultralight is an important part of the organization because it really represents the grassroots fun flyers within the membership. People fly ultralights because it's fun. There really is no other purpose other than going out and enjoying yourself on a nice evening or a nice morning. We don't fly them for commercial purposes. We don't fly them for corporate purposes. We don't fly to get from point A to point B as a transportation device. We just fly for fun because we love it. It's stick and rudder flying. It's just for the pure love of flight.
And what we're going to learn today is we're going to learn the huge differences between, say, the other end of the field and the area down here on the farm, is what you guys like to call it down here. And I see why we're sitting in what you guys call the chicken coop of the barn.
Right, yeah, this is the chicken coop down here.
And actually, this is really nice. It's comfortable. There's shade here. We're outside. There's a breeze. It's perfect for an interview setting. Tell us how the organization got started and about the interaction between EAA and ultralights. I know you told me yesterday, sure, while we were chatting that that there is a difference between the ultralight area and Warbirds and Vintage and IAC. Tell us a little bit about that.
EAA members are EAA members involved in ultralights. The ultralight is not a separate division within EAA like the other divisions, Vintage and Warbirds and IAC. Those are separate legal divisions, separate entities with their own corporate structure. For ultralights within EAA, we're just part of EAA. We're just members who enjoy flying ultralights. So we're EAA members. The programs that EAA has in place to support the members who want to fly ultralights are just administered through the EAA. I'm an EAA employee. I work in the Aviation Services Department, and I'm responsible to coordinate these ultralight programs for individuals who want to register their ultralight vehicle, to want to register themselves as an ultralight pilot, for the ultralight training purposes, to help people try and find training to learn to fly an ultralight. So it's really, we're just part of EAA. We're not a separate corporate structure like the other divisions are. EAA is very supportive of the ultralighter, and you can participate in all these membership vehicle, pilot, student registration programs with EAA ultralights at no cost. It comes with part of your $40 EAA membership. EAA publishes a magazine called Sport Pilot and Light Sport Aircraft that primarily focuses on the new sport pilot rules, but it also contains the ultralight information. It's where EAA tries to highlight and promote and report on ultralight issues. And ultralights really are intimately tied to sport pilot and light sport aircraft. The sport pilot, light sport aircraft rule is a result of the ultralight movement.
Well, Chip, everybody knows that EAA was so heavily involved in the evolution of LSA and light sport. And I'm sure your department in EAA was tasked to do quite a bit with that. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We've been working with the FAA and other members of the industry to put together the sport pilot light sport aircraft rule for the past 13 years. Initially, back then, there was a member of the EAA Ultralight Council by the name of Chaz Humphrey, who volunteered to be EAA's representative to the ARAC working group for the sport pilot light sport aircraft rule. And he attended numerous meetings in Washington, D.C. and various areas, working with industry and the FAA to develop the proposal of what sport pilot and light sport aircraft would become.
And you've seen that in big ways down here. You just got done telling us a minute ago that you're here to help facilitate the changeover from ultralight to light sport. And the membership here that comes to this area of AirVenture, that's probably one of their big challenges, right, is getting those former ultralights, ULs, converted over to the new LSA. And you guys in this organization have made that as painless as possible, right?
Well, we've tried to help the membership accomplish what they want to do. And let me just kind of back up a little bit with what you said about the changeover from ultralight to sport pilot. And I would characterize it a different way, because the ultralight regulation is unchanged from 1982. The sport pilot and light sport aircraft rules are in addition to, and they have not changed, FAR Part 103, which is the ultralight vehicles regulation. So a person can still fly an ultralight vehicle. It is alive and well, and many people are choosing to enter ultralight aviation. I've done 4 different forums this week specifically talking about getting started in ultralights, and each one has been very well attended. I'm very encouraged by the response people are having about their desire to get into ultralight aviation. You are correct, though. EAA works very hard to help those people who want to actually fly a light sport aircraft, who may have been flying an ultralight previously, and for them to get over from flying an ultralight into flying a light sport aircraft as a sport pilot. We worked very hard to help provide those members with information and connections to the different testing facilities where they can get their training and finish their tests so they can enter into the FAA system and take advantage of the privileges that sport pilot offers to fly a two-place and carry a passenger for fun. So that's where the difference is between sport pilot and light sport aircraft from ultralight. Ultralights are limited in that they're only single seat only. They're only for the one pilot who wants to fly in that super lightweight, easy to fly, recreational aircraft we call an ultralight vehicle. If you want to fly a two-seater, that's what the sport pilot rules are for. Because now the FAA says you can get a sport pilot certificate and fly a two-seater, which is called a light sport aircraft, and fly just for fun. Carry a passenger and enjoy the evenings much like ultralighters do.
That's great. That's great. Tim, we thank you for chatting with us today. We're going to take a break and go back to the studios for a break, and then we're going to come back with Frank and talk to 5 more people from your organization.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
It's great to be down here. Jaymont G down at the ultralights for AirVenture in flight on the fly.